Good evening and welcome, dear ones. Your presences, each of you, matter, all of us. Let us begin in prayer. In the name of God transcendent, God omnipresent, God immanent, indwelling, the Holy Living Trinity, in whom we live and move and have our being. And so it is. So our Christ candle is once again lit as a symbol of the Christ light that is within all being, as essential being in all things, including ourselves. And this evening we gather and give ourselves and listen completely in relationship in an intentional container with attention that is directed, knowing that our work matters for ourselves, one another, those close to us, and all creation. We may think that our relationships are only important for our emotional lives, and of course they are, but not only for this, they are for the collection of higher influences when we come together as a body of intention, influences that can reach this planet. So what we're doing matters for the evolution of all creation. This evening, our meditation, our opening reflection comes from Maurice Nickel, who we again remember and give thanks for and celebrate this great man whom we are still in direct relationship with. And the anniversary of his death is August 30th. He died in 1953. And this is a quote from him. We could think of it as a kind of affirmation, which I will read twice. This work is very slow, and it mustn't be heavy. It must be a beautiful thing. You must never be serious about it. Yet, no people on earth must be more serious. This work is very slow, and it mustn't be heavy. It must be a beautiful thing, and you must never be serious about it. And yet no people on earth must be more serious. So this is a perfect quote for our time of when we are reflecting upon cosmology and its influences and impressions as expressed in the work. It is vast, but we don't need to be concerned that we grasp all of it or even much of it. This work will come to meet us exactly as we are today, and then tomorrow it will come to us in another way. And that way we know it is living because it is never the same. Even if we took the same study every single day, it would always be different. We know it is alive. And so now we prepare ourselves, and in a way we present ourselves as vessels of imminent trust and receptivity to the higher influences. The powers, if you will, emanating from the spirit through the conscious circle of humanity directly to us. We don't have to think about this. We simply are attentive to it with our being. With back upright, heart open, mind in directed attention. We breathe in deeply all every most hidden part of our being, all being, everything, everything that is hurt, everything that seems dark, harsh, shameful, maimed, ugly, irreparably damaged, diseased, unforgiving and unforgivable, resentful, resistant, apathetic, everything. And we hold it as an offering. We lift it, transubstantiate it in faith, in hope, in love, in our very being, as whole, as lovely, as radiant, as loved in light. We do this on behalf of everyone and everything, particularly those today who are suffering. And we breathe out this healing light into the world, all worlds. I am, I wish, I can work. I hand over the complexities of the day and the plans for tomorrow, the anxieties and small fears of my heart. I lay down my constructed life in order to yield to the divine human life that is my destiny. And we stand unencumbered before God and one another. Lord, have mercy on us. And we enter into a time of Lectio Divina. Our passage from today's email will be read 3 times with a silent pause in between each. Open my heart. Where I meet pride, humble me. Where I meet anger, calm my fears. Where I meet injustice, cause me to act in love's way. Confront all within me that is not whole. Deliver me from deadly fears and doubts. Shine your light upon my darkness, that I shall behold your face in truth. When I am fully awake, I shall dwell in the house of love and peace and joy. May I wake up and feel that I belong to a higher world and fully conscious, open to all my possibilities, put myself under this higher influence and submit to its service. open my heart. Where I meet pride, humble me. Where I meet anger, calm my fears. Where I meet injustice, cause me to act in love's way. Confront all within me that is not whole. Deliver me from deadly fears and doubts. Shine your light upon my darkness, that I shall behold your face in truth. When I am fully awake, I shall dwell in the house of love and peace and joy. May I wake up and feel that I belong to a higher world and fully conscious, open to all my possibilities, put myself under this higher influence and submit to its service. Open my heart. Where I meet pride, humble me. Where I meet anger, calm my fears. Where I meet injustice, cause me to act in love's way. Confront all within me that is not whole. Deliver me from deadly fears and doubts. Shine your light upon my darkness, that I shall behold your face in truth. When I am fully awake, I shall dwell in the house of love and peace and joy. May I wake up and feel that I belong to a higher world and fully conscious, open to all my possibilities, put myself under this higher influence and submit to its service. And may it be so. So I invite you to share with us the gift that you received from this passage or this image that came to meet you. And you can do so by just raising the raised hand function, and you will be called upon. Lisa, good evening.
Good evening. What I heard is that I wish to wake up and feel a part of a higher world, feel that I belong to a higher world. And that actually goes along with the practice of watching the sunrise and the sunset, because that puts me in a space of belonging to a higher world, realizing where we are on the ray of creation and being in a state of gratitude. Mm. So my wish, now that I'm off of vacation from beautiful Maine back to Texas, well, that I can maintain that deep gratitude and reverence for nature and for all that Mother Nature provides us.
Mm. May it be so, Lisa. Certainly you have a beautiful spot to do that in.
Thank you.
Rebecca, please. You're still muted at the moment. There you go.
On the third reading, the phrase that stood out for me was, in the face of injustice, show me love's way, or something to that effect. And I am also just back from vacation and spent some time in different spots that celebrated events in the struggle for civil rights. And that challenge was right in front of me, wondering what what would be what would come to me as the correct response in love when faced with some of the challenging, is not a strong enough word, but that's what I'll use, situations that so many of our fellow human beings went through during those times and go through now.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you. Peter, please.
I heard two of my favorite words, abide and behold. Mm-hmm. And for me, my prayer is that I would continue to allow myself to abide more and more in God and God's love. And in so doing, the eyes of my heart would be open to behold truth and wisdom and goodness and beauty in all things and in everyone.
Mm. May it be so, Peter. Thank you. Thank you. We have time for a few more. Catherine, please.
I heard belong, and it just sounded sweeter than I've ever heard it before. And to think of consciously awakening to the truth that we belong to a higher world was just, it made me think how blessed we are and what a huge idea that is. We belong to a higher world.
Yes.
It just kind of puts me in awe.
Indeed. Thank you, Catherine. Greta, please.
Yes, I also heard what Rebecca heard in the face of injustice. Let me be love. And I had an incident happen during the week in which I felt unjustly accused by a longtime friend. And I recognized so much my desire to be loved and my desire to have the security of friendships and my desire to control the outcome of what was happening. And I was so lucky with all my spiritual partners that I have now, my work partners, that we could discuss this, because it was really a large thing to let go of, to just let go of all those desires for control and security and survival and esteem, and just turn to love and love. Thank you.
Thank you, Greta. Thank you. Howard, please. I think you just remuted yourself, perhaps.
Let's try that.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, it works. I heard two parts in it, and as well as the painting, I guess, it, or photograph of a painting. It is beautiful. I could just kind of think about the way, you know, all different things in life that hits in kind of from all different directions and higher planes, lower planes. And but what stuck out for me in the reading was pride and anger. Mm. And how both of those in my level of being can so often control things instead of being able to have, or try to control things, I guess I should say, instead of being able to have a an equanimity with whatever it is, whatever's occurring, whichever direction it's coming from. Mm-hmm. So that's, I think I'll put that out there as a wish to be able to observe that well enough to not identify around it when that does happen. So
we'll join you in that wish and that affirmation. Thank you, Howard. Thank you. Well, thank you everyone who shared and everyone who is here, because I know that there's something stirring in all of our hearts. So now we turn our attention and welcome to Miss Beverly, who will accompany us on a journey through influences and belonging to all worlds and the transformation of impressions. Welcome, Beverly.
Thanks, Marianne. Hi, everyone. So I am really interested to hear about your work this week with the practice of first conscious shock. And I will share my screen so we can see that homework. Okay, can you see that? No, why is that showing up? Okay, hold on a second. Let me try again.
We could see it, Beverly.
You could see it. Was there another screen there? There was something else that was showing up online. No?
No.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I'll go back there and try again. All right. Here we go. All right. So our homework was to choose one of the basic practices or additional ideas listed to use as your first conscious shock this week. And the basic practices were self-observation, non-identification, self-remembering, and external considering. And then there were other ideas that we talked about at class last week. And then to have a wish and intention to apply it to the point of incoming impressions. So I'm curious to hear, you know, does the space open up? Did the space open up for you? And how did your experience change with different kind of impressions? And if you were able to work with delight and curiosity. And then also, if you'd like to report on your the August practice of watching the light, that beautiful quote by Valentin Tomberg about this, the force of hope every dawn, every day that happens, and that could we sense it pouring forth every week. So I would love to have you to report. Let's see, Sue, please.
Hello. Okay. Oh, let me end. Let me turn my camera on. Hold on.
Okay.
okay. All right. So, so yesterday, well, first of all, I've been swimming three mornings a week all during the summer, which has been a lovely, wonderful thing to do. And it helps me stay centered and grounded and relaxed and happy. And this week I started back to school, which kind of threw a wrench in that. Monday and Tuesday, I couldn't go in the morning. And Wednesday, I got up earlier so that I could go for a swim before I went to work. And I'm just going to say that there was this song playing in this one about how heroic it was to get up earlier so I could get my swim in. So I got to the pool, and it turned out that there was a staffing shortage that morning of lifeguards, so the pool was closed. Intellectually, I knew it wasn't their fault, but I had a strong emotional reaction to it. It was very frustrating. And so I went home and did some other stuff and went to work, and work turned out to be a really frustrating day also. Things weren't going right. I wasn't able to do the things I needed to do. And, you know, I just kind of powered through it and finally got home and realized I was in a state and did a session of Feldenkrais awareness through movement, which is kind of a mindfulness type of movement. And I mean, I knew I was not handling these impressions well, but I kind of couldn't get out of it. But when I lay down and did the movements and got really conscious of my body and my breath and my inner states, I realized I was actually seething. I was just in this state of rage, outrage. It'd been sort of bubbling underneath everything all day long. And so as I just focused on my body and the movements and just allowed that energy to be there, eventually it dissipated by the end of the session. And I was able to just come back to a kind of an equilibrium. So I'm thinking that was like self-observation, maybe moving to a different center. Can you help me out here? How does this apply to the work?
Yes. Well, actually, it's a good report for next week, because it is work in retrospect, which is fine. Often, I find my experience is when I get into my body out of my head, because you were in your body, you were conscious in your body. And then it sounds like you were able to see that it, through the sensations in your body, that you were seething with anger. And so that's what you did was very similar to the welcoming prayer.
I was thinking that too. It felt like I just let it be. It was very uncomfortable, but it just let it be there. And gradually it dissipated over the, you know, 40, 50 minutes I spent doing the movement. Yeah.
Yes. And so that's a practice right there, you know, to just be in the body and breathe through it, because that's the stuff we stuff down when we're, you know, when we were younger, when we didn't have the tools to deal with it. We didn't want to feel that. And a lot of time we still don't until we're ready to. And that's what you did. And that is it. I think it does make, it releases the energy from that identification. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you. Leanne, please.
I really chose to look at the other two foods, air and breath, because that was something that was up for me.
Yes.
And I had noticed how I was eating really quickly, standing up, and it was not really serving me very well. And so I decided to intentionally sit down and say my grace and have gratitude for the food that I was eating. And then that chart that Robin put up came to mind, and I could see that with intention, that food was being digested and deconstructed and changing form. And even if it was in my imagination, it was that impression. Then it became an impression. And I just realized when you read the homework again, that created a space for me, because I had been gobbling my food and standing and quickly eating, and it did create a space as well. And then there was the food of air, which I also have had some issues with breathing lately. And so I've intentionally been working on pranayama and doing some yoga poses and really feeling into my breath and breathing and watching where it goes in my body too. So creating that space with my breath and watching it come all the way up to my my clavicles and feeling that. And so I could see that I was creating space in that way too. And that changed the impression of, oh, I'm not breathing well. I really have to practice my breath. And so that was a form of changing that impression too.
Yes.
And through that work and creating more space there as well.
Yep. And I would say that's a form of first conscious shock. You were bringing consciousness to that. And that was a neat example about the food. Something woke you up in that moment to realize you were gobbling it, you know, standing up. And then, yeah, it's a much different result, so to speak, in the end. Yeah. Thank you. Nirlaya, please.
Hi, Beverly.
Hi.
I wanted to make a report on the August practices of observing the light. Yeah. And what's so interesting is since I put my hand up, the light has moved in the window and now I can't see the screen. Isn't that wonderful? So what I wanted to report on was an embodied experience of a sunset over the weekend. I often sit and watch the sun go down. It's long been a practice, but it was an interesting thing that happened. As I sat there, I got out of my head and out of my emotional center and into my body. And I was experiencing the sunset in a way I'd never had before. I think part of it was triggered by the notion of the ray of creation and scale. And so I was holding that inside somewhere, because I think that's what triggered it. But here's what happened. Instead of seeing the sunset and the sun going down, I had this tremendous, overwhelming feeling that I was sitting on the earth, and the earth was rotating, as it does apparently, and I was rotating away and back from the sun. It wasn't going anywhere. I was going back, and it appeared to my eyes that it was setting. Wow. And so it was this visceral, internal, it's hard to explain, but it felt very, it felt simultaneously like there was gravity to it, like a heaviness to it, but also a lightness. Like I'm anchored to the earth. The earth is turning. My chair is just going away from the sun, and I'm just slowly rolling back, and the sun is disappearing. And what I loved about it was that I had the sense that if I just kept turning, I'd get back to the sun again. And it wasn't an intellectual thing. I can't explain it. It was like in my body, I knew that I'd be turning all night and I'd be back to that sun. And the last thing I want to say is, it reminded me of this one time in Thursday night class, Francis Franklin said, my brother and I were lying on the grass looking at the stars. And I said, isn't it great to look up at the stars? Francis said to her brother. And her brother said, you're looking up, I'm looking down. And it's that same notion that when you think about yourself on the planet as that little part of the green film, it's just, it's awesome.
Yes, yes. So I like clearly, go ahead.
And yes. On that happy note, I think I'm gonna turn away. Yeah, I'm gonna move, yeah.
Thank you, that is just a really delightful reflection on that process. Ah, wonderful. Who else? I'll say that wishing to practice first conscious shock showed me how much it doesn't happen for me in the moment. It's really, yeah, how little I do that. And we were talking in second line too. And I realized along with someone else that when I do give first conscious shock, it's often just seeing. I'm not non-identifying and full self-remembering. And I did have an experience of it this week where I went through the whole process with an impression and it was like night and day. I mean, all the sensations that were there just disappeared in the moment. And so that was very informative and humbling too, for sure. Stephanie, please. There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I'm not really sure. I'm very new to this. So I'm not really sure if I was practicing with first conscious shock or not, but I was trying. And it was very fruitful, even if that's not what it was. About a couple months ago, Marianne shared a quote from Rodney Collins, and it was a practice that I took up. And he said to try saying, this is a negative thought. It may be pleasant, but I don't want it. And then doing that each time negativity was coming up, and that, you know, by the 10th time, it would be easy, even if by the first 10 times, it was really hard. So I'm not sure if that is first conscious shock, but it definitely changed my perception of the incoming impressions as I was using it. And I liked it because it was easy. But I feel after what you said, I wanted to share because it did very much feel superficial a little bit. Like it was a fast thing that I was able to do and then just kind of like let those things go when they were simple negative thoughts.
Yes.
Like I was maybe judging someone or just experiencing some anger or something like that. Like, oh, no, I don't want this. I'm going to let that go. But it definitely didn't necessarily feel like I was doing all of the three centered and everything like that. So I just kind of wanted to see if that was a practice of applying first conscious shock or something else or what.
I mean, it sounds to me like it is because you are conscious in that moment. You're aware that there's a negative thought that's there. So there is a space. And you just brought this consciousness of, I don't want this. And I think the key, what you said is that it was simple things. Mm-hmm. So that you know, have you tried that at all with something that's a bigger trigger for you?
Yes, and I was much more clingy to the negative thought. But what I found was that even in that, the practice kind of opened up a little bit for me, because I started to, that second part of it, which is it may be pleasant. I had not noticed as much before how really pleasant I find the negative thoughts, and how that opened up a new consciousness for me, because it was surprising, because there were these negative thoughts and I thought when they were easy, it was like, cool, I really don't want that. But when it was something that I was very attached to, I wanted it. It felt good. It made me feel better about myself, because they were generally thoughts that made me feel like, well, put down other people or judge other people. So what I found is that most of this negativity that I was really clinging to was thoughts that were allowing me to feel better about my eyes, like I'm better than other people. And so in that way, it did open that up to me a little bit as well. Yes. But that was still, it was very clingy. It didn't want to let it go as easily as it did when it was something that wasn't really affecting me very much.
Right. No. Well, I would say it's a wonderful tool for sure in your toolbox. And then just practice with the others and see what if you can go deeper with it. Because ideally, you know, we want to get to this place of self-remembering that this is all not I, and that there's a much higher part of me that's aware here. You know. So, but yeah, I think that's a great tool, and it sounds like it works for you a lot of the time. So you want to keep that in your toolbox for sure.
Yeah, cool. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you. Frank, please.
I decided to work on my favorite step, which is self-observation. I've been trying to learn that for many years. And frequently, it turns me on my ear. It makes me view negative things about myself. And then I have to deal with negativity and bounce around. This week, however, it was a little bit different, and I don't know why, but as I tried to self-observe, I noticed that I was actually doing a bunch of external considering, that I was not aware that I had been doing, and some of which was, you know, intellectually new, but lovely. But I was surprised that the work at just watching self could lead there. Maybe that's just from having been around this long enough that some of y'all have rubbed off on me. And for that, I'm grateful.
Oh, we're grateful for your work too, Frank. And that's a wonderful observation, that self-observation can lead to external considering. Yeah, it's a fruit of your work, for sure, for sure. Thank you. Well, thank you all. I am actually going to stop here with the homework, because we have some kind of a different little thing we're gonna try tonight. So I'm gonna share my screen here. Whoa. All right. So we're talking about impressions, and this quote from our card for the month, "Our real life is this world of impressions and how we receive them," is, I really felt that this week. In really looking at how we take them in, this idea of first conscious shock, it just showed me that everything is an opportunity. Everything is an impression, everything. And that what would life be like if we were, it probably we would call it in the state of self-remembering, where we were awake at every moment and just taking things in consciously. Wow, you know, it's just an amazing vision, really. And so I really just see the importance of this idea of first conscious shock. And so we're going to practice first conscious shock together. I have three impressions, different kinds of impressions for you, and we're gonna practice together. So, I'll put the impression on the screen, and then you can choose the way to bring first conscious shock that's useful for you. If you're new in the work, I suggest you focus on self-observation, non-identification, self-remember, or external considering, if that's appropriate for these. But just, you know, we want to really see the impression comes in and we're awake in this moment. Okay? We're creating that space. And this will be interesting because we're doing this as a group. So we're creating a container of consciousness here. And so we all can draw on that and we can all add to it. So to prepare for that, let's just check your posture. Bring your feeling of eye or your attention to the center of your body. To your breath. Just to allow a nice deep breath. Sense your body, feel your feet on the floor. Yourself in the chair, space around you. Bring as much presence as you can, and that's what we're creating here, creating presence. Okay, so the first two impressions you're going to need to have your eyes open for. So, go back to the screen here. All right, so I'll give you the impression and then we practice first conscious shock and then I'll ask for a brief report. I am having screen challenges here tonight. Okay. Oops. Can't reach my thing here. There we go. All right. Here's the first one. It's written. So as you read this, see how much consciousness you can bring to it. Observe all three centers. Okay. All right. Hopefully that was enough time for you to read it. All right. So just take a moment. You know, what happened internally when you read that? If anything, maybe nothing did. Notice any images that came up, future, past, beliefs, attitudes. Can you non-identify, self-remember, external consider, bring another idea? All right. Would like to report. Nicole, please.
Ooh, that was good. That was really good because that's the one thing I've been really identified with is the whole school starting, it was just exactly what you wrote. And I even asked my husband, I've been really trying with that. If I truly understood, I wouldn't disagree because I just don't get it. And so I'm asking for other people's opinions and I can't get there. What I don't understand. So when I read it, I also read that the Supreme Court today of Texas said that they can institute masks and go around Abbott. And so there was this, when I was reading that, there was this pride and yeah, you know what I mean? And I couldn't bring up a shock, I'm going through all the work aphorisms and none of them reached me except for this. Yeah. But I will say one impression that did really hit me today. It was yesterday. School started here in Lakeway and it was two young kids seeing each other and them running. And they were young. I mean, probably like six, and going up and giving each other a hug. And there's no masks in Lakeway. And it was so beautiful to see that connection, that it was a little opening to understanding. I am a little disappointed that nothing came up to me when you showed that.
Well, you can bring it. You bring that first conscious shock.
I couldn't find one. That's what was upsetting.
Well, you just observe. Saw the stuff. Non-identify with it, and then remember your higher self. Remember God, but however you self-remember, it's a self-remembering. I think that's the key.
Yeah, that was really good because I was, with Afghanistan, all these things that it's just like I can come up with something. Yeah. And this one's been really difficult, so thank you for that, and I can't wait to see how other people. Did a first conscious shock. Thank you.
Thanks, Nicole. Thank you. Kathy, please.
Hi. I am a school teacher, and so I have been thinking a lot about these ideas, and I've thought, wow, how blessed I am. I have so much opportunity to work. And what I have been applying to my reaction to the disagreement is external considering. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, it's been it's been really helpful in allowing me to see the issue through somebody else's eyes, people I know and care about. And I can see the eye in me that wants to sort of make them an enemy, mm-hmm. but we're not enemies. And so, I can say, oh, we just disagree. And the alternative is I'm right, you're wrong, I'm sane, that's crazy. But if I really listen to their perspective on it, it's just a disagreement.
Yes, it's like the work aphorism, if you understood, you wouldn't disagree.
Well, I guess
everybody has it. Yes. How about this particular impression? Did it move? Did it move anything in you, or did it just bring those thoughts back up?
Well, it's an impression that I experience every day and have been experiencing every day. Mm-hmm. And so because I've been applying work ideas to this impression, then it's become easier for me.
Yes. Yes. So
I felt like, you know, I saw it, I know it.
Yes.
And I was able to come to a place of peace easier.
Yes.
And maybe a place of compassion even, and understanding. Anyway.
Great. Okay. Thank you. And thank you for your work as a teacher. That is big work right now in this midst of this thing. So thank you. Deborah Jean, please.
Hi, Beverly. How are you?
Hi.
And thank you, Kathy, the gentleness in your voice. thank you. Because there's so much anger around this. This has been ongoing for me also as a teacher who had to retire because I have cancer. And so now I'm immune compromised with basically no immune system. And what I've seen is this evolution. I've really been watching this evolution in my feeling about other people, which just like Kathy, there was that first impression of seeing those people be the enemy that weren't wearing masks. And I could see my fear, but then it began to evolve where I could see their fear. The fear of being controlled, the fear of all of us don't know, you know, we're just in this very scary place, and we're all dealing with that fear, and we all find different ways to express it. And so what has happened to me was I went from a lot of anger, which was a lot of fear. And I love that prayer tonight about, you know, where I have anger, you know, help me look at my fears, help me address the fear. And that's a huge prayer for me, because I know if I'm angry, there's a fear in there. Mm-hmm. And the thing that started happening with me is I started going from, you know, trying to lecture people and do all these different things, or trying to talk reason with them, and, you know, all the different things that I would try, to this real acceptance, a deep down acceptance of myself and my fear and others' fear in this, and hence the anger. And what started happening was, I noticed that I started, instead of trying to change other people, I would say and try to make them change. I started saying to people that were wearing a mask, thank you for helping me stay well. I really appreciate that. I can't tell you how much that means to me. And what shifted in me was going from that fear into compassion for all of us. It just shifted into compassion for myself, for the other people. And the anger really began to stop. Yeah. It doesn't mean I don't wish people would wear masks. I do. I wish it desperately. Yes. You know, and it's a prayer for me that we're evolving. And I think people are starting to wake up as they see more of their loved ones, more people getting sick. But I have loved watching the evolution that the work allows and that God has allowed in transforming the fear into compassion, into a gentleness like I just heard in Kathy's voice. Yeah. It just brings me to tears. And when we can offer that to ourselves, I sort of had to get there with myself first, I guess, in that to say I'm afraid, then it comes naturally to offer it to another person. It's just like, you know, forgive me my debts. I have to be able to do that. And this was great. This was perfect for me because it's been an ongoing sort of conscious and unconscious talk. I have to confess that when I heard that Abbott was sick, I had some joy for a moment. And then I had to spend some time praying that he'll be okay and recover. But that didn't come easy for me at all. I was right back in it. So anyways, thanks for letting me share.
Oh, absolutely.
And thank you all for wearing masks that are wearing masks. I really appreciate you helping me stay well.
Thank you, Deborah Jean. Thank you.
Bye.
Lauren, please.
I really appreciated, Deborah, your compassion. But I remember the Psalms, and some of the Psalms are not so forgiving. And so when I didn't feel exactly joy when he came down with it, when the good governor came down with it, but because he gets the same treatment that our esteemed leader did in the $100,000 treatment or whatever it was.
So Lauren, can we shift back to this impression?
Okay.
Can we do that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get back on that.
The impression for me was that I wanted, it first hit me that there are consequences. And then I remembered the Psalms and how, and even though I'm not the judge, but there are consequences, and that's what I was aware of.
So that was do you feel like that was your first conscious shock? Was the bringing the Psalms, or the Psalms being there, did that bring you to a place of self-remembering?
The Psalms are wonderful because they have this anger, but they also have the wonderful compassion that Deborah just had, so that they have both. And so I'm thankful for that.
Great. Thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you. Jeff, I'm going to have to move on. Hopefully you'll have to share for the next impression. Okay. All right. So our next impression, again, be aware of all the associations that come in. But remember, we want it to be the first conscious shock. We want to digest those impressions, to go past that, to go to self-remembering. Because the idea is we're digesting these impressions so new energies are created, right, for our transformation. We want to see things in a new way. So this is an impression from Austin. So this is just visual. Let's see what comes up for you as you look at this impression. Observe what's going on inside you. Thoughts, sensations in the body, maybe. Maybe not. Emotions. Work to transform it in the moment. Okay. And first conscious shock in the moment is quick, right? The idea is to transform these impressions, the take them in more consciously. What did you see? Billy, please. You're good. I can hear you. I don't, no, I guess you're muted again.
Not showing me muted.
You're good now. It's good.
Okay. All right. Now it's telling me my internet connection is unstable. So, actually on both of these impressions, I always generally seems to bring me to a state of confusion, of not knowing what the answer is. This my normal way of reacting is, you know, I might go to anger or whatever, but I also go to I don't know how to fix this. Mm-hmm. And I should know how to fix this. And I don't. So one of the things that I've been applying for a while now when I find myself in that state is that everything is happening in the only way that it can. Mm-hmm. And that really takes the emotional charge out of what's going on inside me. It takes away my very strong desire for power and control, and safety and security, I would have to say, is there in a lot of this too. Because a lot of it is just heartbreaking. So, that's the tool. And I guess the welcoming prayer is kind of embedded in that as well, but it's just happening in the only way that it can, and it's not up to me. I'm not in charge.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Right. No, right. Yes, there's higher meaning in it all. Reasons. Thank you, Billy. Thank you. Jeff, let's go to you since you raised your hand again. Thank you. I'm glad you did.
Okay.
There you are.
Hi.
Hi.
So the same impression or the same shock came to me with both of those was multiplicity. I mean, I can see in myself polar opposites of so many different ideas, reactions, truths, and then you spread that across the world, and you take the depth of the multiplicity in me times 4 billion.
It's a miracle anything works. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, how do you, the idea that we'll all get along and go in the same direction is sad as that sounds to me, that I don't know that will ever happen that way, but I get it. Mm-hmm. And so I can have compassion for somebody who is just as identified with their position and their point of view. I live in this nice glass condo, 40 stories above the street. Mm-hmm. Or I live on the street. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. We're all one.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Or 11 stories.
It's heart opening. You know, really, it breaks our heart and it opens your heart.
Yeah, thank you.
Sacred wound in a way. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's see. Okay, Jack or Jackie, if you can make it quick.
Well, yes.
Hi, Jack.
Yeah. So I just saw the tent. And the association was And associations don't have to be negative. They can be very positive. And I was just thrown back to the moment I first was in a tent in Boy Scouts. I was in a tent with my children. I was in a tent with Jackie at Lama. It was the most extraordinary, beautiful impression that came in. Mm-hmm. It didn't trigger negativity. Mm-hmm. I know where the tent was, but I don't know where the person was that was in that tent. They may have been exactly where I was so often. Very positive and loving God. And also so often, what the heck's going? My tent's rolling down the top of a hill at Lama because we're stolen. But nonetheless, impressions can fall on associations that are beautiful. And having said all this, that was my impression.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I saw a tent. You know, ultimately the reality is there's a tent on the street. It's all the other associations I have along with that. That I want to see through or past. So very interesting for sure. Catherine, I think someone is not muted. So if there's someone mutes it, I'm hearing some voices there. Let's see. Well, it wasn't in my place. That wasn't the noise. I don't have enough time to actually do the last impression that I wanted to give you, which was an audio impression. But that's also, you know, anything we hear, anything we see, smell, all of those things, they're all impressions and they all can be worked on in the moment. And actually I will give you one further impression just because it's different than these other ones. There, you can take that in consciously and see what you see. What comes up? It doesn't. Is it easier or harder to get to self-remembering with this kind of picture? Yeah. Okay. So the email this week had to do also with work in retrospect. And I'm not going to say a lot about that because we studied, which it's time body work, we studied that in March, and there are links for both of those emails, those 2 weeks that we studied them, that in the email. It was a very rich study for a lot of us, for sure. Work in retrospect, you know, the example in the email was somewhat soon after the fact. We often think of time body work as working with those kind of big impressions that we didn't digest when we were young or that are further in the past. But what I discovered as I worked with that, the idea of work in retrospect, I think the thing that, and it might be obvious to everyone, but it wasn't really to me, is that when we sit to work on something from our past, whether it's from earlier in the day or whether it's from long ago, we're opening up that space, right? That's a little different than first conscious shock in the moment. That space has to happen really fast. But when we do work in retrospect or on the time body, we're creating that space, right? We have to be conscious in that moment because we have this intention to work with that impression. And so we're creating that space. There is an aspect of self-remembering already. We're awake to a certain extent. And yet, so we bring the impression up. Well, what's happening? The impression is there in the present moment. It's a new present moment, but it's still a present moment. And so we're giving the first conscious shock to that impression, even though that was an apparent past. It's all the present moment, no matter when we do the work. So applying first conscious shock, to me, it's just, that's how you work. You know, no matter whether you're working on something from the past or the future, it's always the present moment when we work consciously. So that was, I don't know, that just landed in a different way for me this week. And I found that really useful, very useful. And then the other aspect too is just to point out that when we do this work, we do it, you know, it's work, right? That's what it's called and that's what it is. And I will speak for myself. I can forget that I'm not the one doing the transformation. Okay, I'm working. It's like I'm unconsciously thinking I'm doing it, but what am I actually doing? I'm making an effort to be present, to consent to this work, but I'm not doing the actual transformation. Think of Robin's diagram of the digestion of foods. You think about that, all those, the octaves, are we doing that? No. What we experience is the process. We're experiencing the change that's in us after we work consciously, when we bring the first conscious shock, but we can't see how it's done, right? So that's such a wonderful thing to remember, because that's an added, obviously, that's self-remembering right there. We're remembering that there's this companioning presence with us, right? At every moment, that's there to help, and we can always call for help. And I forget this all the time, or I don't want to, the ego wants to think it's doing it. And it doesn't think it needs help. I should know what to do. I shouldn't have to ask for, or I shouldn't even ask for help. What is that? You know, need first conscious shock for that thought. So just as a reminder that we're here to connect with those higher influences. That's why we do the work. We want that unitive state with Christ. We want to serve something higher. And really, that's this idea of grace and effort. The quote by Bernadette is so wonderful. It's that we have to make effort for grace to be as effective as possible. Yes, grace can come in and change us immediately, but that working together of grace and effort is what we want and what we wish for, that collaboration or that co-creating with spirit, you might say. And to, you know, as terms that John de Saltzman used in some of those, in that quote of this coming under the authority of something higher, of obeying, two words we don't like in our culture these days. Yet what else would we want to come under the authority of? My eyes, my multiplicity? Where has that gotten me in the past? Nowhere. And to, you know, obey or just follow that inner voice. So that's the point, you know, that to kind of wrap this work with impressions up. And then I also wanted to share one other thing with you before we go to the homework, was something I saw one morning as I was pondering all of this, is the wonderful way our aims and our aims just weave through our curriculum. And so what I saw was our aim for this, or our practice for this month, is watching the light, right? And that's also very obviously connected with the idea of observing eye. We want to really develop that observer, that witnessing presence in us, right? So watching, we watch the light, we are watching, we're being watchful as the impressions come in. And when we are watching, then we receive the impressions. We're not batting them away. We're not resisting them. We're not shoving them down. We're not letting them fall down onto all the associations, but we're receiving them. We're gathering them in a conscious way. Such a beautiful word, receiving, right? So through that watching, we're receiving the impressions in a new way. And then transformation takes place, and we're watching the light do the transformation, and we feel different, right? The transformation. And that transformation of the impressions brings us to see new truth that opens the eyes of our heart, which is our yearly aim. And we get to see capital R reality. And really all these could be in a circle or a sphere. They're just all interwoven. And so I just wanted to offer that because it really touched me when I saw this one morning. So on to the homework for this week. We will be adding work in retrospect to the practice of giving the first conscious shock. So, and you know, what new truths do you learn about yourself, others, and the world? So we're kind of upping the ante on being conscious, on creating a presence, on being present in our bodies, right? Let's really work. Let's with fun. I mean, in delight, because wow, you know, don't you want to come under those influences, right? And then ask yourself, am I willing to come under the authority of something greater than my multiplicity? Am I willing to serve, to take on the daily inheritance of labors as a tender of new life? And that refers to part of the poem that's at the end of the email. There are those two emails from the time on the time body to review if you wish. And then our August practice of watching the light. There's another beautiful quote from Valentin Tomberg. And so our wondering this week is to look up at the starry heavens, and can we sense the holy being underlying the universe? So a very rich week for sure. And so may our work this evening be transubstantiated into our being for our school, for our community, for ourselves and the world. May it be so. Thank you all for your attention and participation. Back to you, Marianne.
Thank you so much, Beverly. What a rich offering for us. Thank you for your presence and joyful being. So we have a closing word, a reminder from Rodney Collin. This is a Kairos time, a time of exceptional opportunity for those who want to acquire will, love, and reason. A great change is approaching, in which positive forces must balance the negative ones. The positive irradiations emitted by people of goodwill collect the neutral ones emitted by ultra-heavy matter and form them into a kind of protective barrier, like a kind of jelly that absorbs and neutralizes negative irradiations. We do not realize the responsibility we have for everything we project. It affects thousands of people all over the world. If we have positive irradiations, they help not only us, but other people, also all over the world. If we project positively, we could then leave their distribution to God. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed I am to simply remember God. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake, and watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in Christ's peace. Amen.